This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We are a little bit past 5 o'clock here on this Monday. We've had a discussion over the last little bit of time about Juan Soto, who received a raucous amount of boos today in Port St. Lucie, Florida, from Yankee fans that invaded Clover Park. And for some reason, Tiki, Sean, even Loogie, all don't think Juan Soto is going to face heavy boos.
Well, my perception is different because I don't hate the Mets. I'm not a Yankee fan who hates Met fans or hates the Mets. I actually appreciate the Mets. I'm kind of tied to the Mets in a way because of their sale. So I don't hate them. So I just don't think it makes sense to boo.
Well, there's a difference. There's a difference between, hey, Yankee fans listening to my voice right now, you're an idiot for booing him. This is my opinion. Listen to me. Versus when we're in the building, there won't be boos. It'll be a smattering. Because that second, the first part, that's fine. You can have that opinion. The second part will be factually inaccurate because his ass is going to be booed. Let's get to a couple of your calls, then we'll get to Sean Cinco de Five-O. Let's go to Mike in Nutley, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I just want to let you know I remember the Robinson Cano situation very, very clearly. Basically, when Robinson Cano made his first appearance back at Yankee Stadium from Seattle, he takes his position at second base. The bleacher creatures start chanting his name, Robinson Cano, Robinson Cano. As soon as Robinson Cano turns around and faces the right field bleachers, everybody in the right field bleachers, the creatures start pointing at him and chanting, you sold out! You sold out!
That's creative.
That is creative.
They do that with Juan Soto. That is very creative. Mike's in Bayshore. Hey, Mike. Hello, Mike.
Evan Tiki, what's going on, guys?
What's up, dude?
What's up?
Evan, do yourself a favor. Take that $1 million that they say you got in the bank and put it all, wager it against those three, because there's a 100% chance he's getting booed like crazy.
Oh, I know. There's never been anything, Mike, I've been more confident in being right about than being in Yankee Stadium and hearing the crowd boo Juan Soto at, like, the largest degree you'll hear about.
You suck.
Yeah.
You left us.
Yeah.
You know what would be worse?
What's that?
Yankee fans?
What's that?
Silence.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
In New York, good luck.
See, I know.
I'm just telling you, indifference is worse than hate.
Cold shoulder.
I agree with you, but here's...
Difference is worse than hate.
I know, but you're making a mistake in the difference between
silence.
What you should do and what will
you,
happen.
Silence.
What do you think will happen
night? I'm going to champion silence.
Well, that's different. You better work on that now.
Let's do it. We have a month, Tiki.
Sit on your hands.
That's it.
Do nothing.
It'll be insulting.
Stand up and face the other damn way.
See, here's what you need.
Turn your back on them.
Can I give you some advice?
Like not that he turned his back on you.
See, there you go.
I love it.
Here's what you guys need to do. And don't put this on me. I write enough stuff down. Every single day, at a different point in the show, for no longer than 30 seconds. So it's not like it's not a segment. Every day until that return day, you need to remind the audience to turn their backs on Juan Soto. And if you start doing that today, March 24th, four days before opening day, and you do it every day at a different part of the show, I think you've got like a tiny itsy bitsy shot. Like a tiny shot.
Well, the problem is
you got to start working.
If you boo him, it's just going to make him mad.
I agree.
And we know what happens when Juan Soto gets mad.
He takes you deep.
He destroys you.
So the question is...
Each homer at least twice that weekend.
Right. So will both of you guys commit...
Of course.
...every single day? I'm not reminding you. Don't put this on me.
You don't have to.
In fact, you give me a signal, and I will shut my mic off. I'll shut up, and you take over.
Oh, you don't have to. I'll be talking about Jameis Winston. I think Jameis Winston is going to have an unbelievable season. I throw for 48 touchdowns. Now, look, he might throw for 15... interceptions a game, but he's going to be fantastic. And by the way, when Juan Soto gets up the bat, stand up and turn around and give him silence. But I really do think that rookie that they drafted, he could be all right.
All right.
Shadia Sanders.
I'll do the same thing. I think Jameis Winston's a phony. He stinks, but please turn around when Juan Soto comes up there.
Tommy, I give him 4 days before they forget.
You're giving him four? He's got him 4 hours. But
also, you know, a message. Message to the company. We need to stay in the follow our lead, so we're going to need those front row tickets for that first round.
Yes. Right. So with the shrimp and lobster.
We can be the example.
Yeah.
Where this is going.
Exactly.
And I respect it.
Right. Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. We are in our crank up to opening day here, so we're trying to go some opening day themed Cincos throughout the week. Well, actually, really just the next 3 days, because Thursday is going to be here before we know it. Mm-hmm. I'm here to give you the top five candidates to become this year's version of Mark Vientos and Luis Gil.
Ooh.
All right. Here we go.
Number five.
Will Warren. Is there a world where Will Warren makes us not care when Rodon sucks this year?
I think there's actually a decent possibility.
Right. Sean and I almost drafted Carlos Rodon last night.
Actually, it was my idea to say Rodon is one of the best pitchers available, to which Tiki replied to me in a direct message, no, he stinks.
What I don't understand about you guys, and you weren't the only ones, why did you guys let, because I ended up having to draft him. It's the one Yankee I have on my team, Clark Schmidt. Dropped to the last round of the draft. He's going to miss one start.
I don't try. Like Clark Schmidt, his track record tells me, forget missing the one start now. I can't trust him all year to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Did you feel the same way, Tommy, as an IBO on that?
Yeah, I was surprised he dropped, but I will be even more surprised if he's back for his first start after you just proclaimed that on the air.
Because
you kind of mushed every other player so far this spring. So earlier, condolences to Clark Schmidt here. You will be missing more than one
earlier
start.
Earlier in the show, when I asked you, did BT jinx St. John's by tweeting out this beautiful, awesome package, if they win, your response wasn't even to say yes or no. It was to call me a jinx. All I'm saying is the Yankees have told us he's going to miss one start. How am I jinxing him?
You just added the Yankee part there. Before that, you said, he's only going to miss one start.
He's supposed to miss one start.
Famous last words.
Do you think everything said on Sports Talk Radio is a jinx?
I think in this situation, you had a room full of Yankee fans in this fantasy draft. Basically, me, you, and Hoffman are the only Met fans in there. All these Yankee fans passed on Clark Schmidt, and you, the IBO, picked them. I think they led you to this...
I get it now.
Situation.
I get it now. He is a jinx. Dudes, dogs, and damage.
Yeah.
They won on Saturday.
They couldn't be less doodly, less dogly, and the only damage they have is Tom Thibodeau's coaching future.
Better chance of happening. Clark Schmidt starts 27 games this year, or Rick Pitino takes the Johnnies to a Final Four before his tenure's over.
Oh, Clark Schmidt makes 27 starts.
This year?
Yeah, why not?
You're a Johnnies hater.
Okay.
And a college basketball hater.
You heard that, Johnny's fans? You thought I was the hater. Evan just told you. He has no faith in Pitino taking his team ever to a Final Four.
You said the Final Four.
No.
versus a guy making
Tommy make sheet clip, but he never believes that, Pitino's going.
Yep.
Yes, I don't believe that Clark Schmidt's going to not make 27 starts versus Rick Pitino gets to a Final Four.
I'm disgusted in your hatred towards
him. He hates New York City basketball.
Here we go.
Number four.
By the way, tradition of New York City basketball like no other, losing in the second round. Mm.
It's true.
The Nets actually started it in fairness.
No, you know what? No, the tradition is losing in the second round and celebrating the season as a success.
That's right. That's right. Good.
All right, number
maybe
four.
Having a parade.
Number four is Clay Holmes. He's starting opening day. Could he be the next out-of-nowhere Mets starter here?
That's a good one. I'm surprised that's not higher. Especially because we need him to be higher since we have odds on him winning the Cy Young from 3 weeks ago.
And didn't you guys draft him in the Fantasy League as well?
No, we did not.
Did not.
You did not. Okay. Well, the Mets need Clay Holmes.
We drafted Severino.
That's right. Clay is the Mets opening day starter, and I think Met fans have even grown with their expectations for him.
Here we go.
Number three.
Jason Dominguez.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell me if this sounds familiar from a year ago. He's a butcher defensively, but his bat could be electric if he puts it together. Sounds a lot like Mark Vientos to me.
Yeah, I think that's
true.
Differently than Heel and Vientos, who turned out to be huge for the Mets and the Yankees, I don't think we looked going into the season as, boy, this guy better be good. In the case of Dominguez, I think the attitude is, he better be good.
That's the only difference, is the expectation is really high for Jason Dominguez.
All right.
It's like they almost need him.
I agree.
Whereas Vientos, it was like, yeah, whatever.
He was the back. Brett Beatty was the third baseman. Vientos was in the minor leagues.
Here we go.
Number two.
We're just talking about this. Brett Beatty. I mean, how perfect would this be for the Mets in back-to-back years to hit on Vientos and Beatty?
The good news is Brett Beatty's awesome. The Mets lineup is awesome. That's fantastic. The bad news is the better Brett Beatty is, the better chance it is that Pete Alonso's not on the team next year.
Yeah, but that's okay. You're still getting two homegrown guys in Vientos and Beatty.
Like Beatty turn, because you go get a third baseman?
Or you move Beatty to third base, Vientos goes to first, and they let Pete go instead of paying him $30 million a year.
Or you get Vlad, and then you keep everything static.
They're not getting Vlad. You got to stop with that.
We've hit our quota for Vlad this week.
I didn't bring him.
Number one.
That's Tiki's fault.
Number one.
Yes.
On the most likely candidate to be this year's Mark Vientos and Luis Hill, number one is what's pulling me back to being positive about this Yankee team.
It's Ben Rice.
Ben Rice.
Ben Rice.
He's put on that
good
muscle.
Spring, man.
I think Ben Rice is going to be a player
so
this
do
year.
We think...
I think AL All-Star this year.
Wow, okay. Wow. Do we think going into the season, Ben Rice is going to end up basically being their DH?
Yep.
Is that our kind of expectation going into the year?
Yes, he will
and
be.
And he'll catch a little bit. He'll play a little bit of first base when Goldie has to sit. And that this could be a breakout year for Ben. It's another one that they kind of need. Because the Yankees have a lot of holes in their lineup, so you need a guy or two or three to break through, and certainly Ben Rice would qualify.
Yeah, we got our eyes on Dominguez, another step for Volpe. Watch it be Ben Rice. I love this, putting on muscle. He ate a lot of rice. Let's go.
He certainly did. Thank you, Sean. There's your Cinco de 5-0 every day right around 5 o'clock. Let's go to Eric in Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
Evan Tiki, how are you guys?
All's good, dude. What's happening?
What's up?
Oh, man, this whole Juan Soto and being booed in Yankee Stadium, I mean, Tiki stole a little of my thunder. And what I was going to say is that, the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference.
Right.
So, as Yankee fans, we just have to not care. And you know what? God bless him. Hopefully he does well for the Mets and onward and upward. We focus on the Yankees. And which leads me to what I really called about, which was Johnny's and this clown that called it to BT today. Because it's so hilarious for the same reason, is that this hater calls up. He literally held it from Friday. I guess his buddy David, whatever his name is, doesn't really matter, called the BT itself on Friday to give him grief about celebrating their first victory. And then this guy that calls today sat on it the whole weekend after a loss just to call and yell at him for celebrating their first win.
Right.
Does that make any freaking sense?
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
That's a good point, Eric.
The whole thing was strange. Now,
I didn't even think of it that way, but
we
you're right.
We played the call a little bit earlier on in the show. You could rewind on the Odyssey app, too. I would say... Now, we have a chapter section, so I'm sure the chapter will help you out. But I'm going to assume that was about 3:45 or so, where a guy called in very angry, basically picking a fight with Brandon over having a drink, not with the St. John's team. He didn't drink with the team, but a celebratory drink after the Johnnies won on Thursday night. And you're right. The caller was sitting on it for 4 days to, like, bash him with it. And he didn't do anything wrong. Like, let me tell you something. When my team wins... I want to have a celebratory drink, especially when my team doesn't win a lot. And one thing about St. John's that I do respect is that their fans, their diehard fans, not the casuals who jumped aboard, but the diehard fan, they've watched a lot of crap for two decades.
Yeah, they have.
They finally won a tournament game. It doesn't matter the team that they beat. It's still a win. It's still advancing in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, losing on Saturday sucked, and I'm sure there's anger, but you should celebrate when you win. Let's go to Steve in Bayside. Hey, Steve.
You know, when... your woman leaves you for a guy with more money. You don't want to show her that you even care. You want to act like you couldn't care less.
Right.
And I'm sorry. The best thing that they could do, you guys just touched on this, the best thing you could do is be indifferent. Or if you really want to, stick it to her, you could show her how happy you are with the new girl that you got.
Right, but who's the Yankees?
The best thing you could do is move on and be happy. It's the best revenge, folks.
Right, that's a good point, Steve.
You're right.
But
you're
who's the new girl?
Yeah, I mean, is it Cody Bellinger? Is it Paul Goldschmidt? is it Max Fried? Like, there really isn't a quote-unquote new girl or new guy. Like, they replaced Soto with a collection of players.
Yeah.
And the reality is... when the New York Mets play the New York Yankees for the very first time in the Subway Series, it will be May 16th, okay? That's 2 months from now. Where the Yankees are, where Juan Soto is, where the Mets are...
where the Giants and Jets are.
Where the Giants and Jets are. Like,
that's a good, great point.
Who knows? Like, if the Yankees...
what day of the week is that?
It's a Friday night. It's a Friday night.
Is that the first weekend? No, that'd be the second weekend.
Second weekend of what?
NFL season.
No, it's May.
I meant after the draft.
Oh, after the draft.
Yeah, no, it's May. It's NBA playoffs. The Knicks may have been eliminated by then. That's certainly possible, if not likely. The Rangers.
I thought you said September for some reason. I'm like,
no.
What are you talking about?
So they play at Yankee Stadium in May, and then they play at Citi Field in July. The series at Citi Field, I think, is less interesting, only because...
nobody's going to be around.
Well, it's 4th of July weekend, and also it's not like some crazy return. This is going to be a crazy return, and he's going to get booed. He's coming into... it's just reality. Ozzie and Woodridge knows what I'm talking about. Those boos are going to be crazy at Yankee Stadium. Am I right, Oz?
I agree with you, Evan. They're damned if they boo, and they're damned if they don't, baby. They're all tied up in a pickle. They don't know what to do.
Okay.
And by the way, to use that last guy's reference, and then I got a question for Loogie. Juan Soto was their 10. What they went out and did was get five chicks that were twos, and then they added up to a 10. That's how the Yankees tried to get over Soto a 10, a dime.
Well, first of all, Paul Goldschmidt. What? Paul Goldschmidt, you're being very disrespectful to him. Apologize. Yeah. Apologize.
He was an eight years ago.
All right.
We don't know what he's going to be.
I know what he is. He's going to 30 home runs this year. Apologize and acknowledge him. You will acknowledge him.
All right. What I will do is I will get you to acknowledge the fact that just like a former Yankee who was on his way to the Hall of Fame, Goldie is having back issues in his old age, so he's not really guaranteed to put up the numbers that you think, FZ Wesley.
All right, we'll see.
So
we'll see.
That's my counter because he's not a short thing.
All right, what's your question, Alugi?
He was
go ahead.
Stud.
All right, go to your question, Alugi, because I got some interesting things more about Soto. Go.
All right, Lugi, before you went to your AC Madness trip,
yeah,
did you dye your Bud Bundy beard the way Sean dyed his goatee before the St. John trip? Because we never got confirmation, Sean. Why'd you dye your goatee before you took your little vacay, and you're not doing it now?
I don't know what you're talking about.
He said you dyed your beard, which there's nothing wrong with, by the way. I don't think Tommy dyes anything, right?
Me? No. I don't have the salt and pepper thing going on, thankfully.
Yeah. I guess he's accusing you of dyeing your beard. Anyhow, Juan Soto has met the media. Mm. And I guess he was asked about playing in front of a New York Yankees crowd. So let us hear. We've been talking about it for a while now. Soto got booed at this spring training game, a home game for the Mets. I think it's going to be a wild scene at Yankee Stadium. For some reason, everyone else thinks, they won't boo him. It'll be a smattering. Here's Juan Soto talking and being asked about the boos.
About what it'll be like when it's more Yankees fans in the crowd than like it was today with being in a Mets venue?
No. Definitely, you're not a Yankees fan today. They can't surprise you with anything, so I'm expecting the worst.
He's expecting the worst.
Which is why you shouldn't give it to him.
This is what Juan knows more than you guys do, because he knows he's getting the worst.
Stand up, turn around, and greet him with silence.
We can't have silence on the radio.
We'll come back.
I'm making a point, Lugi.
I know. I was looking for Evan to jump in there.
No, I'm letting him make his
point. Before alarms went off because we had too much dead air.
Listen, silence is okay. Sometimes
not more than 9 seconds, it's not.
We weren't getting that 9 seconds.
That was like half a second.
That was at least 4.5 seconds. No, I have a seconds meter.
Let it breathe.
You forget when Francesca used to sip his water. I mean, jeez.
I mean, silence is okay. Like, sometimes you make a big point, you let it marinate. I was allowing Tiki to let it marinate. Why do I have to jump on over him all the time? Jeez. Anyhow, we'll come back with more of your calls, and I've got great news for Knicks fans. If you fire Tom Thibodeau, I know that's quite a jump, there is somebody available, somebody that's going to be available, that will excite you. That will make you almost say, we're better off losing in the second round. Let's just do that. I'm usually not one to repeat conspiracy theories, but for a myriad of reasons, I think it's really important to at least bring it up, because A, it's fascinating, and then B, it could have ramifications on the New York Knicks. So I mentioned to you before, you know, Tom Thibodeau is not necessarily on the hot seat, but you know, Knicks get knocked out in the first round, things can change. Knicks get knocked out in the second round, maybe if they're non-competitive, things can change. But sometimes you fire a head coach because of who's available. And what if I told you, if you follow the bouncing ball, a guy who may be available to coach the New York Knicks would be Eric Spoelstra. Let's start with that. So would you want Eric Spoelstra coaching the Knicks?
I mean, he's a great coach. He's got multiple championships. I mean, of course you'd want him.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
Okay. Tommy, I know you don't want to talk ill will on Tom Thibodeau, but obviously Spoelstra is one of the great coaches of all time.
Yeah, I think he's the best coach in the NBA.
So you would like him to coach?
Of course.
Okay.
So, yeah, but you'd be stupid to say no.
There you go. So we're easy. All right, let's get to the complicated part, because obviously it's like, all right, Ev, well, what's going on? I know the Heat are struggling, but are they really going to get rid of Eric Spoelstra? I don't think they're going to get rid of Eric Spoelstra, but there's a wild rumor going around that Eric Spoelstra's ex-wife has been hooking up with the young 24-year-old Jaime Jaquez, the same guy that injured Julius Randle.
Yes.
That there's enough evidence, if you go on Instagram, between the likes and the communications that Spozak's wife may well be hooking up with Hawkes.
Just because she liked his photos on Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go deeper into it, but there's few examples of, you know, interactions that make one think.
Like public interactions? Like not like DMs?
Like the likings on social media, the pictures. Okay. I mean, maybe it's not true. Or maybe it is true. And if it is true, I could see Spo saying, I need a change of scenery.
Mm.
I could see Spo
forcing his way out.
Yeah. Kind of doing a reverse Pat Riley, if you will.
So, can you imagine?
There's so many layers to this. Like the idea.
This feels like such a ridiculous conspiracy. I know you are actually throwing out a conspiracy theory. You prefaced it with that.
I did.
This feels ridiculous.
She's
what, 40?
Yeah, I think so. Or late 30s, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And he's 24. That's really not that crazy. You think about it.
It's called Hollywood. It's like a Tuesday there.
And Hawkes
is true. That's true.
Hawkes is a good-looking guy.
Of course.
Like, I don't think that's crazy.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just talking about the circumstances surrounding both.
And also, you could see how that could happen. You know, if she's around the team, if all of a sudden there's a breakup, which there was, it's a public divorce. You know, you could see how something like that could happen. It's not crazy.
It sounds crazy.
You think it's crazy?
It does.
Was there ever a situation in your playing days where someone was like,
the coach's wife? Are you kidding?
I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
But wouldn't he force more of a trade? Like, wouldn't he go to Pat Riley and be like, get rid of this guy, it's me or him? And wouldn't they choose Spo over?
Of course. I don't mean that there would ever be a decision between Jaime Hawkes and Eric Spoelstra. Right. I mean that there is, besides that wild rumor, besides just that, there are certainly signs of looking at Spoelstra's time there where he himself is going to say, it's time to move on.
Yeah,
I've been here for a long time.
Right.
I've maxed out the success here. Like, it's just time to move on. And when you look at a lot of the other great coaches, especially over the last 40 years, they don't just stay in one place. I know Greg Popovich has, but Phil Jackson didn't. Pat Riley didn't, the guy he learned at the knee of. Like, I don't think it's crazy. And yes, the conspiracy theory played into the idea, but the more you think about it, and where Miami is as an organization, would not surprise me if Spo says, I want another challenge.
Yeah, but from a Knicks standpoint, there's a lot that's got to happen for the Nick job to be available.
Not really.
Yeah, it does.
Not really, bro. If Leon Rose gets the heads up that Spo wants out and he's interested in the Nick job, dude, they will move quick. Come on. They would.
You think?
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't they just give Tibbs a new contract or extension?
Doesn't matter.
It's money, so who cares? But
it's money, who cares? I mean, especially when you hear what Leon Rose is potentially making from the Knicks. Like, if a great head coach became available like that, who's still relatively young, like he's not, you know, at the end, I don't think any of that stuff matters. I think he'd be gone.
All right.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. Based on a conspiracy.
It all started with a conspiracy theory. But the more you think about it, then you guys will really be dudes and dogs, Tommy. Yeah. You get Spo in here, I'd be worried. As a Knick hater, I'd be very worried.
Oh, you should be. Speaking of with the Knicks thing, and I'm happy.
You want to change the subject? This makes you feel uncomfortable?
No.
Is that the problem?
No. It will tie in with the dudes, dogs, thing.
But not to Spoelstra, right?
Not Spoelstra.
He doesn't feel comfortable. He wants to move on.
No, listen. I would help Tibbs pack his desk up. Get out of here.
You're
talking about the best coach in the NBA? I think Spo's the best coach in the NBA.
I thought you were going to say something else about helping.
What do you want me to date his ex-wife? I have no problem with that situation. I'd rather have the best head coach in the league. Anytime that's a situation, I would trade up. That's a no-brainer.
He's the second best head coach in the league, by the way.
No, hold on a second.
He's the second best head coach
You know what? Hang a banner. The 2024-2025 Nets. Hey, we were competitive against the best teams in the league.
Anything about the Nets? I was talking about Mark Daynault. What are you talking about?
Oh, you know exactly what you meant there. Now you're giving me the face. What do you mean, Lugie?
I wasn't
implying that.
Bro, you're insane. You got a weird passion for the Nets. I was talking about Daynault. Yeah.
Sure. That's exactly where that's where the New York audience thought you were going with.
I don't care what the New York audience thought. I'm telling you.
Well, we're doing a show for a New York audience here.
I know.
We're doing a radio show here.
But what does that mean? Every opinion has to be based on New York. I was just telling you he's the second best coach in the league. Huh. Don't try to cover your ass because you got a weird obsession with the Nets.
No, I don't. You have a weird obsession with the Knicks and the Nets, how the Nets, in your mind, play harder than the Knicks.
I'm talking about Daynault. He's one of the best coaches on the planet. Can you defend me here?
No, you're right.
Thank
because OKC has been so great, but at the same time, most of our audience is going, who the hell is Daynault?
He's the head coach of the Thunder.
Exactly.
You'll steal him in 3 years, too, by the way, if things don't go well. What was your point? Because I want to move on now.
Yeah, what a setup. So we talk about Dante DiVincenzo all season long. Yeah. And I've been one of these Knicks fans. Stop talking about Dante. Stop talking about Dante. It's over. They wouldn't be. They'd be in the same situation. The Villanova commercial. I didn't watch. It was on the internet. I didn't see it a lot during the tournament, but I saw it yesterday.
For those that have not seen this, Dante DiVincenzo's in a commercial with Brunson, Bridges, and Hart, in which they show how much they miss him. Mm. And they flip him like a Villanova hat. And, yeah, they all kind of, like, smile together at the end.
What was the commercial?
I don't remember what it's for.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's terrible when you just remember the participants in the commercial. It was not exactly what the commercial was.
It was
for.
Like a very funny slash emotional commercial. But I honestly don't remember the company. But for those that haven't seen it, that's your little thumbnail on it. Bridges, Brunson, and Josh Hart walk past Dante. And there's like this emotional exchange. And then finally Jalen says, hey, Dante. And he flips him a Villanova hat. Anyhow, what's your point?
Now I'm upset that he's not on the team. I am. That we didn't get the power of friendship. Now I'm bothered by it. I would have been fine.
But it was necessary to get Cat.
I know, but you know what? What if they flipped him the hat, the Villanova hat? He looked at the hat and he said, nah. And they flipped him a Knick hat. I know it's on the CBA. They can't get him now, but come on.
Wrong? What the hell's wrong with you?
What do you mean, what's wrong with me? That commercial gave me the feels. I'd imagine all Knick fans, whether you wanted Dante back or not, that commercial, like, that killed me.
The only question that really matters in this regard, would you redo the trade? Julius Randle is here. Dante is here. No Cat. Mm. And Randle has come back from his injury and has played really well, and the Timberwolves have won a lot of games, so it's certainly looking sort of positive.
Right.
But would you go back and redo the trade? Because yet you get to keep Dante, but you also have to go back on Cat Julius. Go.
No, but is there a way where...
Then stop. Come on.
Oh, you're nuts. I'm trying to think of a great example.
He wants
here.
To go redo the deal.
Well, but you can't. That's ridiculous. Like,
you still want Cat, but you want Dante. So who else could you have given up?
Nothing. That was the trade, bro. Like, I gave you a chance to say, you know what, guys? Yes, as much as I like Cat, and you didn't love Cat at first, so it would have been an easy kind of transition for you. You decided, no, you want everything. You're like, you're a fat kid who wants more cake. It's not respectful.
Okay. Evan, explain to the audience.
Don't bring up the Nets again. No one cares.
I won't. Okay, I'll bring up the Mets. Can you explain to the audience, maybe the younger people in our audience, what Generation K was?
That was a group of prospects, Jason Isringhausen, Bill Pulsifer, and Paul Wilson. They were pitching prospects, and so they were labeled Generation K.
Okay. And we all desperately, as Met fans, wanted that to be a thing. Never was, but we wanted it to be a thing. Let's just say Izzy and Paul Wilson ended up being great, but they traded Pulsifer, and then they did a commercial together, you know, sort of celebrating the fact about Generation K. That wouldn't have bothered you? As a Met fan?
If I got back an all-star on the level of Karl Anthony Towns, maybe not really, no. Okay. Depends what I got back.
All right.
I mean, that was a horrible example, but good try. I respect the effort.
Got it.
Let's go to, where should we go here? All right, Tom in Corum. What's up, Tom? Hey, Tom. Uh-oh. Tom, you're not paying attention?
Tom's driving, it sounds like.
Is he?
Yeah, there's a lot of parking.
There's a lot of
I hear something. Sounds like steering wheel turning. He's got a coach to concentrate on not hitting somebody else's car.
Does it bother you that that rear view camera takes away the challenge of parking? Like, I don't like that.
No, because I can do it so easily now.
See that? But that's, you could have done it without the camera.
My car gives me the whole view of my car.
Oh.
So I really don't have to look anywhere other than at the screen.
I know, but I grew up, as did you, looking kind of reverse, and now all of a sudden you got a camera. It feels like a cheat code. I don't like it.
Well, actually, technically, you don't even need it. Because the way your mirrors are?
I know you don't. That's my point. They added it. It's not necessary, but yet we all look at the camera to park. It bothered me the other day when I was parallel parking. Mm. I was like, I am a great parallel parker. Like, I could compete in the parallel parking Olympics, but I feel like it's not fair now because everybody's on steroids because they got the stupid camera.
It's so easy.
How about you just watch every Met game on a 24-inch black and white TV, too, since you don't like advancements in technology?
But we don't need it, is my point.
You Luddite.
Ralph in Waterbury. What's up, Ralph?
Good afternoon, guys. Great show. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure, Ralph.
Tiki, I'm a 66-year-old Giants fan. I appreciate everything you brought to the field on and off, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you.
That whole Soto thing, I'm not going to turn my back. I'm not going to boo him. What I'm hoping is that he goes 0-for-4 and commits 3 errors in the field.
it could happen. Depending on who's pitching. It's possible.
Possible. But the truth is, if you're in the building, you're booing. I think you're not being honest with us.
No. Just to reiterate, you do nothing. You stand up, you turn your back to the field, and you stay silent.
Let's go to Mark in Huntington. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
Good.
just wanted to give you a little backstory on that guy that got BT so hot.
Yeah.
Okay, so the guy called on Friday. I don't know if he was trolling or if he was legit. I think he was legit. BT got really hot. It kind of started slow and built and built.
And this is all because BT innocently said, yeah, after that win, I had a drink with some of the St. John's fans. And that became, which is totally fine, obviously.
Yeah, but he got, BT got, he didn't get as quite as hot as Tiki did last week, but he got hot.
So on a scale from one to Tiki, he was like
he
eight to
get
Tiki.
Hot, because that was just, that was tame for me.
Yeah.
That's funny.
All right. Anyway, so the guy calls again today.
Oh, jeez. Okay, go ahead.
Quickly shut down, and then this other guy that you played earlier, Frank, called. My take, Frank was just a total troll.
Yeah.
He's not a friend of David's, not legit, just trying to tweak BT.
You know what, Mark? That makes sense.
That's entirely possible.
That makes a lot of sense.
Entirely possible. Well,
he's getting the Francesa treatment. Let me find a way to make you mad.
That's right. Like back in the day, you would call up and just mention Jason Giambi for anything. Like, yeah. Hey, the Giant quarterback should be Jason Giambi. So basically, over the last few days, that's the troll of Brandon. Yes. By just bringing up an innocent drink with St. John's fans after winning a tournament game. All right. Let's go to TJ in Massapequa Park. What's up, TJ?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. First-time caller.
Oh, awesome. Appreciate you, dude.
Appreciate it.
Just wanted to weigh in on the whole Soto situation. You guys are delusional if you don't think he's going to get abused at the stadium the first time he comes there.
I mean, he might, but I'm advocating for to do something
else. All right, you've moved to might. Tiki has moved from he's not getting booed, it's a smattering, to he might be booed. We are making progress, sir. And you've now turned this, which I do appreciate, into an advocacy campaign.
I am not like the voice of the Yankee fan. Never trying to be, because I'm not that kind of Yankee fan. I grew up in Southwest Virginia. I barely cared about baseball. I didn't become a Yankee fan until BT, speaking of BT. Or didn't know baseball until BT. I became a Yankee fan when I met CC and all those other guys. So my interest in booing someone who was here for a year is not that high.
Have you ever booed yet as a fan?
No.
No
way. I don't boo.
I was going to say.
Why would I?
Would there ever be a scenario as a fan where you would say, you know what, screw this guy, and start booing him? Is there a scenario you could walk me through?
No. I mean, I think the only time I would boo is if I went to a bad show.
You'd boo the Broadway show?
And they would have to be like really incompetently bad. Because I'd give them a clap for effort. Because I know how hard it is.
So then when would you actually start booing these poor people?
What, on Broadway?
Yeah.
If they just fell all over the place, they didn't get their lines right, they stopped, restarted, blocked it incorrectly, all those things.
Interesting.
There's blocking and acting, too.
You're fascinating to me. Because that's why fans want to boo athletes. Because they're like, you've been so bad, you're falling all over yourself. And you're like, listen, I'm not going to
But how
do that.
Often do you see that?
Where fans boo players for, like, struggling?
Yeah.
A lot. Now, struggling is different than falling all over yourselves. Right. But, you know, R.J. Lewis technically did that in the St. John's game. Obviously, it's not a home game. It's a tournament
real,
game.
That's a competition. That's, like, real competition. Like, acting is repetition.
So you'd be more likely to boo a Broadway show than an athlete?
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
Because it's easier to master. It's you're expected to master it. You're expected to do it right.
I think this is the new thing you need to champion, along with Yankee fans not booing Soto, and that is next time you go to a show, if the performer sucks, boo the crap out of them.
Very rarely do you see them suck.
Now
they
you're
work
right.
so hard to do it perfectly.
I kind of want to put a poll out and say, where do you find yourself more likely to boo, a Broadway show or a sporting event?
Teak, a question here from the Peanut Gallery. So you're telling me, because I was under the impression, Sean was too, that there'd be like a no booing policy. But you're telling me whoever's playing Mr. Mustafiles and Cats, if they screw up their lines, you're not Rum Tum Tigger.
I mean,
can you could boo this person?
If it's so
I figured
bad,
it was hoity toity.
The problem is most people don't recognize. You just don't know when someone messes up.
Right? You're right, because like, only they know.
You guys know I did Pinky Boots for 7.5 weeks.
Yeah,
and I only really messed up one time. And it's because my blocking was wrong.
Right.
And so I went too quickly, and I ran right into the main character, Callum, and Francis, who was playing Lola. And when I ran into him, it was like, in my mind, I'm like, crap, what do I do? Right? Because I've messed this up.
Did anybody boo you when you did this?
No, because he fixed it.
Oh.
And so
when he fixed it, if you didn't know. It was kind of just part of it.
Yeah.
And so that's the beauty of great acting.
Yeah, you never know.
You can mess up, but if they're really good actors, they fix it.
Yeah.
You don't know that anything happened.
It's a fair point.
So if I notice that something happened,
right,
then I know it's really bad.
I want a video of Pinky booing at a Broadway show.
And that's when I might boo.
He just stands up and is like, boo, you suck!